I never had a plum or tuna fish.
Baby, no!
Let me try some new exciting dish.
Baby, no!
Bok choy, collard greens, pad thai. So many foods I haven't tried. I'm kinda scared to eat them. I won't lie!
Welcome to Baby Mouth. I'm Jimmy Smagula. Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Baby Mouth Pod. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jimmy Smagula. You can write into the podcast if you have a food question, a food nightmare, a food problem, maybe with your partner, your spouse, your family, at babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. I love getting your emails. And just a little reminder, if you're enjoying the podcast, and if you've tuned in, you're probably enjoying the podcast, don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review, write a couple words. Listen, you don't have to write a whole paragraph. It doesn't have to be extensive. You can just say, I love Jimmy and I love this podcast. You could even just say, I love this podcast, or love, whatever you want. It just helps. You know, people, I'm an independent podcast. I'm not on a network. It's just me. So having those reviews are so important to get some visibility for the podcast. And talking about visibility, I have a podcast king on as a guest this week. I think he has two of his own podcasts. There's a podcast about cats called The Purrcast, and there's his Jurassic Park podcast called See Jurassic Park, and he also is on the My Favorite Murder podcast. He's been on that podcast forever. He's the engineer. He's a producer. He does it all with Georgia and Karen, our friends, who we just adore. Stephen Ray Morris. Stephen, welcome to Baby Mouth.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, what an intro. I love it.
I always do a good intro, Stephen. It's something I'm good at.
I love it. Thank you. It's an art, you know. I mean, when I first started podcasting, I like took notes. I was like, I listened to like all my favorite podcasts. I was like, how do they intro people? Don't intro them with like a project that they don't care about anymore. Make sure it's like the most up-to-date thing. Like I was a podcast nerd when I started podcasting. So
when did you start podcasting? When was that? Do you remember what year that was?
Yes. So it was like around 2014, 2015 when I had been already like going to Meltdown and seeing tons of comedians and stuff like that. And I was like doing comedy journalism and writing about a lot of the podcasts that I really liked and everything like that, including Georgia's first podcast, Slumber Party. And so that was when I started the Purrcast, because I was like, oh, all these comedians talk about being tired of talking about the biz all the time. Yes. So let me give them, let me, if I'm going to ask somebody to be on a podcast, I want it to be like super casual, super fun. I mean, like this podcast, it's like this thing of like, it's not talking about work. You know what I mean? It's talking about some other interesting aspect of their life. And so for me, it was like, you know, for me, it was cats at the time, because I had just, you know, I'd only moved to LA a couple of years before, and like, every party in LA was like, you know, what are you doing? What are you working on?
Industry.
Yeah. And I was just like, I'm going to, my co-host Sarah and I were like, we're going to go pet the cat of whoever's, you know, whatever party we're at. So that felt like when I was like working up the courage to, you know, asking people to be on stuff is always like, you know, it's always a thing. So for me, it was like, well, this is such a silly, low stakes kind of situation. So it's like, I'll be in your podcast to talk about cats for an hour. Like, why not?
Yeah, that's how I feel about this. You know, it's low stakes for the guests, but it's high stakes for me, because I literally, like, I'm afraid of corned beef. It looks weird to me. I'm sure, like, every friend that, you know, I usually have like two or three friends that I say, like, oh, you know, coming up this week, I'm going to try corned beef before I record. And everybody's like, you're going to fucking love corned beef. Corned beef is so good. It's like beef. It's beef. You're going to love it. You love beef. I love burgers. I love steak. I love meat. So, you know, but there's something about the look of it that I've always been like pastrami, which I did with our friend Scotty Landis, who I adore, and I love the pastrami. It was delish. Oh, yeah. But the corned beef, I've never had it because it's a look. A lot of people have problems with texture in food, and it's not so much texture for me. It's the way it looks. And my mom has said the same thing during this podcast. She'll be like, I don't like the way that looks, or I don't think I'd like the way that looks. It's very interesting. Do you have, are you more of a visual person when it comes to food, or do you have texture issues?
Yeah, I definitely think I'm similar when it comes to like texture. Anything kind of mushy or too creamy when it's not supposed to be is a little dodgy, which I think is originally why I was kind of proposing to you two different, because to me in my head there's two different versions of corned beef hash. There's the like military, like you know, in a can corned beef hash, and then there's I feel like you're saying, so many people had that texture problem, and so the corned beef hash of, to me, Los Angeles and like restaurants.
Yes.
Because corned beef hash is one of those foods that I have to try wherever I go. So if I'm traveling, will try, like, I will try like the corned beef hash at a diner, you know, wherever I go, because I love it so much. But I think a lot of people realize that texture thing is an issue, and they've kind of, and I'm curious to see what it looks like, the one that you got, because there's kind of like they made the texture, I think, a little bit more palpable. For people who are squeamish about that. Because I definitely was squeamish about it growing up, but then I just kind of, you throw enough ketchup on something, you kind of get over it.
Oh my God, I don't have any ketchup. I'm going to, you know, I like to try the food authentically. I don't like to put anything on it. I like to just really see what it tastes like. But how would you say, I mean, you're saying you've tasted a lot of different corned beef hashes. So do they vary? Have you had like a really bad one where you were like, oh my God, this is horrible?
Yeah, I think if you're doing the canned, because there's like a lot of diners that do like the canned stuff, which I like, but you really have to, you can't like microwave that. You really need to like get some, like what is it called? You know, when you're like cooking on a, like my girlfriend, Bretta, is a chef.
Yes.
And it's like one of those things where it's like she doesn't like to use the microwave because it makes things like soggy and wet.
Sure.
Whereas like if you throw stuff on the stove or in a grill or something, it kind of adds that, like, I don't know, it just makes it so it's not squishy.
Oh, sure. It kind of coagulates. You could even, well, I don't even know if coagulation makes something squishy, but I know what you mean. You're kind of, you're cooking it through in a different, I guess microwaves cook from the inside out, which I never really knew until a couple of years ago. Did you know that?
I guess I never thought of it.
Yeah, I think they're just like cooking the molecules. I don't fucking know what they do. I just try not to stay too close to a microwave when it's on because I feel like it's going to cook the inside of my brain or something. How does it know where to stop cooking?
It's going to go beyond the door that, you know, if you're staring at it, you're just frying your brain.
Yes, it extends out. I don't want it to extend into my body, so I push the button and kind of step away from the microwave. But I want to talk to you about, because you have two podcasts, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that you have two podcasts.
I just started a Star Wars book club one, but that's, it just started.
Lord, Stephen, it's enough already. My God, I can't even do this one. Now you have the Purrcast, and you have the Star Wars, and you have the Jurassic Park. Now I will say, I have never seen Jurassic Park. Stephen,
interesting.
Have you ever had anybody on your podcast that's never seen Jurassic Park? It just wouldn't make sense to even have on anybody that's never seen it, right?
I mean, well, but I mean, it would be, I mean, personally, it's like, that's exciting of like getting to, I think it would be exciting because, you know, I had somebody on the podcast who was allergic to cats.
I'm allergic. Well, I was going to say, the next thing is I'm allergic to cats and I don't enjoy cats. Even if I mean, wasn't allergic, I wouldn't enjoy them. I have an 85-pound dog that I rescued. I would say to everybody who's listening, so sweet, if you want a dog, please go rescue a dog. My dog, she is the best dog in the entire world. I just said to my boyfriend Bridger last night, I said, you know, we will probably have another dog in our life, but we will never have this dog. Like, our dog is, she is magical. She's incredible. We stare into each other's eyes frequently for long periods of time. She's looking into my soul. It's crazy. But cats, do you have a cat?
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah.
And you enjoy that cat?
and I feel the same way. I mean, that's personally what it's really about. I mean, obviously, my co-host and I are more obsessed with cats, but I think just relationships, doing the podcast, we just actually today of this recording, we recorded our 300th episode.
Oh my Lord.
And it's just more of that idea of like, I've just come to really realize how important relationships with animals are. Dogs, yes. Cats. We've had people on who have horses. We've had yes. people on who have, we had a person on who has snakes and lizards.
No, snakes. No, that could be my next podcast. It would have to be a video one, but you know, how people have like their biggest fears.
Oh yeah.
Bridger's biggest fear is rats. He's terrified of rats. I don't care. I grew up in New Jersey. I lived in New York forever. I see a rat, I'm like, just go away from the rat. But I'm not screaming. He's literally holding me like there's something. But mine is snakes. I can't even look. If I'm watching a television show and a snake comes on, I freak out. I can't do the snake. So I understand the bond, but I can't do it.
It's funny. This is also bringing up a texture thing again, because to me, like a snake is like it's like a handbag or a wallet touching you. Whereas like a rat, to me, I'm with Bridger. I'm more terrified of a rat because it's like, could be like damp and squishy.
Yeah. I don't care about the rats. I mean, I don't want it on me. I'm not saying I would let a rat on me, but a snake, it doesn't even move in a way that is natural. How is it moving? How does it move forward? I jump and it eats the thing whole, and there's just so many creepy.
It is horrifying.
But I would imagine that, like, if you like Jurassic Park, I bet you probably like snakes. You know what I mean? I bet you're not afraid of snakes.
I mean, I think growing up in Southern California, I was used to seeing like lizards and snakes in the backyard growing up. Whereas I'm not really used to rats or anything like that, or mice, or I haven't really encountered too much of.
The first time that you saw Jurassic Park, were you immediately just like, this is the greatest film I've ever seen, I am in love with this? Or did it take time to kind of saturate into your soul?
No, I think it's one of those things where every generation, there's like the perfect age to see something. And so
yes,
I was the perfect age. I had just turned 6, and we talk on See Jurassic Ride. I talk to a lot of people where it's like, at that age, either your parents were like, no, this is too scary, you're not going to see it.
Right.
Or they're like, fuck it.
Right.
And so my parents were like, fuck it. And so for me, in a way, such a profound experience, even though it's just, you know, it's a monster movie. As a kid, like, you don't, I mean, you know, you think everything you're watching is real in a way. And so,
yes,
like, my dad tells a story of, like, it was so scary that I got up in the theater, or like, I was like, started crying and stuff. And then my dad was like, you know, like, he said, I literally got up and like stood up when the dinosaur came, because I was like so
impacted by it.
And I was like crying, and he's like, do you want to leave? And then apparently I said, no, it's beautiful.
Wow.
So yeah. So it just kind of like, you know, Jurassic Park is an important movie in a way, because it's like a technological thing. So it's like, if you're a creative person, it's like, wow, I want to make people like get out of their seat. You know, and so it's like, it makes you also think about the way movies are made too, which is why I like, you know, wanted to study film and get into entertainment and stuff like that. So it kind of like had those two. I wasn't good enough at math to become an actual paleontologist. I just was like, I'll just
talk about it in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jurassic Park is about a park that has dinosaurs in it, right? Is it a secret park? Is there like a guy who's like, hey, there's a secret park where I have dinosaurs? Does it take place now, like in the 90s? I truly don't know anything about
it.
This is
fascinating.
Crazy.
I love it.
I'm kind of embarrassed, because before we started tonight, I was like, should I tell him? Am I going to embarrass myself to my listeners?
Being
is it about a park? Because the only thing I know about Jurassic Park, Stephen, so I directed at Rockwell Table and Stage, which has just closed. It's a cabaret performance space here in Los Angeles, and I directed Clueless the musical, which are the untitled musical parodies of. So they're parodies. But Right before Clueless began rehearsals, what was playing was Jurassic Park. So I went to see Jurassic Park, but I had no idea what was going on because I'd never seen the movie. And now I'm just watching a parody of a movie I've never seen.
I've seen that. I've seen that parody at the Rockwell. Yes. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And I've also seen Jurassic Burlesque at the Rockwell as well, too.
I didn't know they had
And that. I've seen Jeff Goldblum at the Rockwell as well. So.
I love Jeff Goldblum. I've hung out with him a few times. Not as like, we're not friends, but I was at a very intimate kind of movie night with him. And he's just the greatest. He's just exactly, I'm sure you've met him and talked to him if you went to his show, because he's very open. He takes pictures with everybody. He's the greatest guy. He's exactly what you want Jeff Goldblum to be.
No, he is, yes. That you couldn't have said it better. And no, I mean, you know, there's no shame in seeing stuff because it's like, you know, people can play that game all day. You haven't seen this. You haven't seen, it's like,
yes.
You know, and you know, that was another reason why I started that podcast was it's like, for me, it's like, I just like talking about something I love. So it's like the whole gatekeeping thing is not interesting to me. It's, right. You know, it's like, to me, that's fascinating that you've seen a musical parody about a thing, but you haven't seen, like, that's fascinating. Like, it would be so cool to see how you would react to seeing Jurassic Park after seeing a musical version of it. I mean, that's hilarious.
I'm not averse to seeing the movie. I'm not like, oh, Jurassic Park, like, I want to see the movie. It's just that I've been watching, you know, Minari. I've been watching Nomadland. I've been watching movies. But at some point, I should watch Jurassic Park. I mean, it must just be it was a seminal moment for 6-year-old Stephen Ray Morris to see it. So it must be an important film in some way. I mean, they're still making Jurassic Parks. Didn't they just finish making one?
Yeah, there's one that's coming out next year. They pushed it back a year, obviously, because of the pandemic, but Jeff Goldblum's back in it. And
did Bryce Dallas Howard direct it, or she's in
No, she didn't direct it, but I think she should direct one because she's been directing some of the Star Wars stuff, and it's excellent because she's an actor who's had to deal with a lot of the bullshit of, like, I imagine being an actor and being an actor in an action movie.
Yeah,
so I feel like you read interviews with actors who were directed by her on those Star Wars stuff, and they talk about what a great, like, they get what it's like to be in front of a blue screen and, like, have to imagine. And so I think, you know, because a lot of these days, like, a lot of these action movies and stuff are directed by visual effects artists.
Sure.
But I almost think an actor would be a better director because, you know, the visual effects stuff is, like, you can worry about that later, but if the actors aren't, you know, responding in ways that feel, you know, look what happened to Natalie Portman in Star Wars, you know?
Yes, like, yes.
Our mutual friend Courtney James Clark was in Jurassic World. And we became friends because obviously I interviewed her for the podcast, but we both have a mutual love of Selena and Obsession.
Yes, and she does. I didn't know that about you, but she is obsessed.
Yeah, I have these Selena coasters, but I'm very show and tell in my office.
I love it.
You know, the thing about Courtney that was really cool from, like, a perspective of, like, being a fan of something is that she genuinely loved being in that movie. And I think fans could tell. And there's some more fan art of her than, like, characters that have, like, twice the amount of lines.
Wow,
it's really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's that kind of thing where it's, like, I feel like in you know, Marvel movies and Star Wars, it's, like, people love when an actor is sort of embracing that world that I think.
Yeah. You know, and they know what they're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, wow, I'm in this giant piece of movie history. I mean, that franchise it could outlive us.
Yeah. You know, it lives forever.
Lives forever. Stephen, when did you get involved with the My Favorite Murder Gals? Because I went back and listened to their first ever episode.
Ooh.
And it's crazy. They're like, yeah, My Favorite Murder, I guess it's what we're calling it. Like, it's just such a juggernaut. It is I don't know, the number two or three or number one podcast. I mean, you know, we've known Karen forever. We know Georgia, of course. Like, they were touring the world. We went to the Dolby Theater. It was sold out, 7,000 seats to have a live. How did you get involved with the gals?
Well, it's funny because it ties back right to the beginning of our conversation where it was the thing of, like, seeing really cool people. And, you know, Georgia's first podcast truly is like the first podcast I ever subscribed to my phone.
Wow.
And because I finally realized that you can listen to a podcast app instead of just trying to open it up on your, like, the computer in Safari. Or I was like, oh, there's an app. You can download this stuff. It's much easier. Yeah, so it was that thing of, like, meeting comedians and meeting comedy people at shows and, yes, you know, being like, hey, would you want to be my podcast? And so Georgia was somebody who asked to be on the Percast. And again, circling back to the beginning of our conversation, but when I was when I go back and listen to Georgia's first Percast, my favorite murder is the last thing. Like, I'm like, oh, and this new thing that she started.
Right.
And at the time there, when she recorded the Percast, there had only been two episodes of My Favorite Murder out. Wow. So it was like, episode one, episode two, she was on the Percast. And Georgia truly, to me, I would consider like a mentor because, yes, I think when I moved to LA, I realized that there's a difference between like, oh, I admire that person and I want to like do what they do versus like somebody who takes an active interest in your future. And so,
yes,
I was very lucky when I got into podcasting where it was that turning point where there had been the successes, your Mark Barons and stuff, and yes, Serial had come out. But if you wanted to do podcasting, you had to like learn to do it yourself. But when I came in, I already knew how to do all that stuff. And then there was tons of people who wanted a podcast but didn't know how. And yes, so they were like, oh, you know how to do this. Can you do it for me? You know? So I feel like I got in kind of at the right time because there was all these people who wanted to do podcasting but didn't know how. And I was like, well, I know how to do it.
Steven, why did you pick corned beef? I know you said you love it and you've tried it at many diners all over the country.
Breakfast is my favorite food.
Yes.
And
I mean, breakfast is the best. It's just the thing about breakfast is that it's almost always overpriced. That's the only complaint I have about breakfast on the whole, is that a waffle shouldn't be $12.95. You know what I mean? No. It costs like 80 cents to make a waffle.
Well, and I think as a kid too, I was definitely like a sweets kid. I was like Bridger, loved cookies.
Yep.
I mean, no, Bridger's cookie habit is just...
but he also makes the best... I mean, I never have a cookie that's better than his cookie.
Well, and I think maybe for me, that's why I love breakfast food, because it's something in a way that I'm also capable of making.
Yes.
And
you live with a chef.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm very lucky in that regard.
Not bad. Not a bad setup there.
But, you know, it's that thing of like, I love breakfast food because all of it can be kind of mixed together. Obviously, the sweet, you know, I'm not going to put eggs on my pancakes and ketchup or whatever, you know.
Right.
You know, but like the savory part of breakfast I love because I think
like
in my email
it was like syrup on a French toast or syrup on a pan. I love it. You just pouring sugar, and I have diabetes. I really have to watch, but I do enjoy a syrup. I love a maple syrup, a Vermont maple syrup on a hot pancake stack with butter or on a delicious French toast. I enjoy that very much.
No, I love, breakfast of all, from sweet to savory. I think it's just very like, also like breakfast for me growing up was very like, watch cartoon, you know, watch the things that I'm still engaging with today. So it's, there's sort of that tied to it. And I just love diners in general. You know, I think being a creative person, you tend to find yourself at a lot of diners late at night.
I love a diner. And Steven, I got this at the Astro Family Restaurant, which is a diner. It was like, now I've passed that place 1,000 times. It's very close to where I live, but I'd never been inside, and it looks like it's unchanged from the 50s or the 60s. And then you walk in and you go, yep, it's unchanged from the 50s or the 60s. It's so cool inside.
I may be misspeaking, but I work on a podcast called The Murder Squad, Jensen and Holes,
which is,
it's a, you know, true crime cold case podcast. Paul Holes, you know, literally caught a serial killer. We had somebody on who was working on some of the LA serial cases in the 70s. Oh, and I believe when we recorded, because, you know, it's also, you know, we were recording in that area, and he was like, oh, I remember Astro from like when I was like a beat detective, you know, back in the day. And it's like, so your comment about it being unchanged, I think that's true. I think if I remember correctly, him saying that, it was just like, you know, literally like, you know, I'm on the case, and you know, he's probably having a mug of coffee, you know, late at night.
It looks like a diner you'd see on Mindhunter. If Mindhunter took place in LA, you know what I mean? Jonathan Groff and the other guy that talks like this, they would be sitting at the bar at Astro, and like there's tape on the chairs. Like, I love it. It's so cool. And everybody who was in there was like over 75,
yes,
including the wait staff. I was like, it's so cool. It's so retro. It's like walking into a time warp. Now, I got the corned beef hash. I have not opened the thing. It smells delicious. And like I told you, many of my friends said, you're going to love this corned beef hash. Do not be worried. I'm going to open up the...
Yes.
We're going to get into the corned beef hash. We've got to get into the corned beef hash.
Of course.
I'm
going
to open this styrofoam container. So dinery. I love it. I love a diner. I'm going to show this to you on Zoom so you can see.
They have
poached eggs on top of...
Interesting.
Is that the corned beef hash? Because the rest of it looks just like hash browns.
Yeah, there's hash browns, and then you got the corned beef underneath the poached eggs.
Now,
my question to you, are you a ruddy egg yolk guy?
Now, let me tell you something. I had a hard-boiled egg for the first time on this podcast.
Wow.
I've only ever had scrambled or hard-boiled. That's all I've ever had. Before the podcast, I only ever had scrambled. In fact, yesterday for breakfast, I had scrambled. I have never had a poached egg, so this is a little bit of a double whammy with you.
Yeah, you're getting a 2-for-1 here.
Now, do you think I'm going to enjoy the poached egg? How should I eat this? Should I get the egg and the corned beef? Because they're like little squares of corned beef, and then the poached egg is beautifully white, laid perfectly on top of the square of the corned beef, and then there's just the whole other half of the thing. It's just delicious hash browns, which I can't wait to eat. I'm starving.
I think you're going to want to mix it all together. You're gonna pop that poached egg, let it run over the hash, and then get some of those hash browns and get it all together in one bite.
That's so good. See, I love when a guest guides me because I really don't. I would have just eaten the corned beef. Like, I need the guest to guide me. Guests in the future, if you're listening, always guide me. Do not be shy. Thank you, Stephen Ray Morris. I'm gonna break open the egg. All right. Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. Okay, it's not that runny. Oh, that's nice. It's only a little bit runny, the egg. It's not running all over the place. All right. I'm going to cut into the corned beef. Now, do you know anything about how to make corned? What's corned about it? What is it?
I think it means it's pickled, I believe.
Pickled beef.
Yeah. And I was reading a little bit about it. It was one of those things where it was like, you know, it was like for war, you know, like corned beef hash originated like as like a thing, like you would get, like if you were a soldier, it'd be like in a, you know, you're at the battlefield and you crack open a can of corned beef hash. You just stick that on.
God, all right. I feel very manly and military. Crack open my hipster corned beef hash from the Astro restaurant in Silver Lake that looks like it's been untouched since 1952. All right. I'm getting everything together. I'm getting a really nice bite. Let me ask you one more question. Is this the Irish corned beef that they would eat on St. Patrick's Day?
I think it's a little different, but I am not 100% sure, actually.
Right. We're not sure. If anybody knows, write into babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know if this is the same kind of corned beef you have St. Patrick's Day. Okay, I'm going to eat this now. First time corned beef hash with Stephen Ray Morris, podcast king, who I adore. And Jurassic Park expert, a film I've never seen, but I will. Here I go. Let's see if I enjoy this. Okay. Oh, interesting. That's very different than I thought it was going to taste. What does that taste like?
Pastrami a little bit?
A little pastrami. Let me take another bite. Because there's something in there that I can't... It tastes like a meat... But I can't put my finger on it. Let me try again. I mean, it's delicious. It's so comforting.
I'm very relieved that you're at least enjoying it a little bit. I feel like my fear coming on this podcast was like, oh no, what if I pick something that he's like, this is awful. And Brett and I were listening to a bunch of episodes when we drove up to Mammoth the other weekend. And just like.
Which one do you remember that I didn't enjoy? Sardines?
It was the olives.
Not a fan of olives. And then you know what I did for weeks after that? I did a segment called Acquired Taste, where I would eat an olive every single week to see if I would enjoy it more. And I got to like a plateau and then I stopped doing the segment because I was like, well, I'm not disgusted by the olives anymore, but I don't actually enjoy them either. I know exactly what they're going to taste like. So I stopped doing Acquired Taste. But let me tell you, that is delish. It's just a delicious meat.
Yes.
It does look a little scary though, Stephen. even looking at it now, because it looks like there's all kinds of things ground up in this square of beef.
It definitely, and I bring up that military pass because I think if you were to like get the straight up Hormel, that's chili, awful. But like if you were to get the straight up like canned military version, it is just like a mince, you know, it's just, you know, shoved into a can, pickled so it's preserved. Mm. But I don't know. I think it's funny because growing up, I was like Bridger, I was a sweets kid, but I've gotten older,
by the way. I mean, I have diabetes. All I did was eat sugar for 35 years.
But lately, like as an adult, I've come to really appreciate things that are briny, things that are pickly. Mm. And I think maybe corned beef was like a little element of that from growing up that I liked as a through line to now. So
even looking at it now, I'm a little bit like, like it looks a little, it's just weird looking.
I love meat. Like it, ethically, I probably would not want to eat meat, but I just like the taste so much. Oh my God,
me too. I love it. And I look at my dog and I'm like, I know that you are probably the same as a cow. There's probably no difference. I'm sure cows have emotions and feelings, but I love meat. I love it. I can't stop eating. I gotta, at least we should cut down on it. You know, at least cut down.
Yeah, I'm working on cutting down. There's a soy riso that Brenda makes. I think you can get the soy riso at Trader Joe's, and it's like almost indistinguishable from.
What's a soy? It's like a chorizo, but made with soy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm not a fan of chorizo. I don't like that spice in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm half Mexican, my mom's side of the family. And so growing up, chorizo and huevos rancheros, and, you know, stuff like that. Like,
I've enjoyed much more Mexican food lately. I had a bean and cheese burrito for the first time from Sonora Town. Delish. You ever gone to Sonora Town downtown?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. We have to go. I'm not even kidding. Their tortillas are like fresh and delicious. And then I also had from Tirsa, she's an LA restaurant owner. She has the best Instagram. It's just love and joy. Her Instagram is Tirsa's Love. But we did enchilada because I never had an enchilada. Delicious. It was so good. I was like afraid of beans. Now I get burritos all the time with beans in them. They're delicious. This podcast is just forcing me to try things, and it's made my life so much better. I hope that people out there listening are doing the same thing.
Yeah, I hope there's people who are, because I definitely like had a friend growing up that only would eat spaghetti, like that sort of thing.
Were we friends?
And, but yeah, growing up, you know, Mexican food was always just, you know, that's my mom's side of the family. But it's funny because, like, you know, I was the little white kid, so my mom's side of the family would always make fun of me because I didn't like spicy food. So growing up, I would just try more and more spicy food because it was like a point of like pride almost, you know?
Wow.
And so now I love spicy food.
So you can do like a heavy spice, because I just had Thai food for the first, not Thai. I had a Laotian dish. I had chicken lab. And it was made probably in a Thai way, but my guest, Kulap Vilaysak, who I just fell in love with on this podcast, it's such a beautiful episode. She told me in the email, she was like, get the chicken lab, make sure you tell them mild spice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have said anything. Can you do like a hot spice, like a Thai spice?
Well, I'm not young anymore. I think at some point, I mean, I was never obsessed with like, you know, there's like a whole like prank YouTube culture that's into like habanero ghost peppers, all that stuff. Yes. Like, I'm definitely not like that. And I've made some mistakes. It's funny that you mentioned Thai earlier, because I was telling Brenna this story recently. I guess I'd never told her, like, having the hubris to get something that's the hottest, you learn really quickly that you can't keep up. Like, you don't fuck around. And so I had studied abroad in New Zealand, and on this trip, we went to a Thai restaurant, and I don't know what was wrong with me, because again, I'm not the type of person that has to be like, oh, I'm going to get the spiciest, bro. Like, not like that at all. And for some reason, I got the red curry, which is already the spiciest, or as far as my understanding of curry goes, with like green and yellow and then red. and I got the spiciest of that red curry. So it was, so it was like the spiciest on top of the spiciest. And so I was traveling in essentially a minivan that like had a bed in the back, and it was me and two gals, and it was like the three of us scrunched in the back, and like I couldn't sleep that night. My mouth was so hot that I was just like staring at the ceiling in the middle, you know, in the middle of like a, you know, just like a national park, you know, outside of this town in the South Island in New Zealand. And I'm just sitting there like, this is the worst night of my life. My like, God. It was.
What do you do for that? Drink milk or something? What can you do to like neutralize
time.
That feeling?
It's just time
just
at
time.
That.
Just,
yeah. So that. Out. Yeah, so I think that growing up, and then also having a family where it's like, you know, some of my cousins and uncles, you know, aunts and stuff, you know, they could really eat the spiciest of the spicy. So it was like, it was almost like this bell curve of like, you know, trying spicy, spicy, spicy. Okay, here's my limit. I'm not going to go past it. So.
And so nowadays you don't really do like super spicy. You're just not interested.
It's more about condiments and hot sauces. Like okay. Brenna and I are big condiment people.
Yes.
This is so silly, but like the one time I like used my like verified to my advantage was talking about Frank's Red Hot, because I didn't grow up with Frank's Red Hot. It's, you know, Southern California. You grew up with hot sauce and salsa and Tabasco.
Right,
and,
right.
And stuff like that. So Frank's Red Hot wasn't a thing I was used to. I tried it for the first time and fell in love, and I tweeted at them, and they sent me like a box of like different Frank's Red Hot sauces, and they even had like little like a Frank's Red Hot, like a powder that you could put on like French fries and stuff.
See, I don't really enjoy a lot of I like ketchup and sometimes mustard, but that's really it. I don't think I've ever had a hot sauce on anything. I'm not even kidding. I don't think I've had hot sauce. We could do an episode of hot sauce. I never had it.
Oh, you should. Yeah, I'm trying to think who'd be a good guest for you.
I have my hot dogs plain. Hot
dogs. No ketchup, no mustard?
Now, I can do ketchup. I can do onions, but I rarely do.
Onions are good.
I don't even do, like, I'll go get a corn dog. I enjoy a corn dog. Sorry, people, but I love them. At the Doghouse place in Burbank, you ever go to Doghouse? Delish. Huge corn dog. I just eat it plain. I don't even put mustard, nothing. I'm not anti-condiments, but I don't enjoy them. I don't need them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's why Brennan and I, you know, one of the many reasons why we're together is that when we go out to restaurants, we get a spread. You know, we're getting ketchup, mustard, different hot sauces. You know, if we go to breakfast, we're getting different. We'll get pickled onions, like extra on the side.
Yes.
Like, if I were to ever open a restaurant, it would just be like a place to dip. Like different sauces and
the
condiments.
Foods
like,
are just a way for you to try. I should do an episode of this podcast that somebody just feeds me various condiments that I've never had. That would be hilarious.
Oh my gosh. It could be like a gauntlet. Like you could try all the different, and I don't know if you've done this because of this podcast, but for me, I'm always really fascinated with how certain things are made. So it's like, if I discover a new food, you know, even just listening to the pho episode that you did, like, I will just go down a rabbit hole of like YouTube videos of like, how do they make pho?
And then,
like, I was obsessed with like, how do they make Tabasco? How do they make wasabi? How do they make rice wine vinegar? Like, I love how stuff is made.
Pho was scary because the meat is like raw when you get it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was looking at this raw. I don't like a raw red meat. I don't even like to look at it. It does scare me. That's a little bit of the corned beef, the pastrami fear.
Yes.
It's like the redness of this. It's like, is this raw? But then the molten hot liquid of the pho cooks the meat, and then it's cooked. It's so, I love that pho. I could go get that again. If it wasn't 1,000 degrees here in Los Angeles, I would go back and get it. Just so hot. We're having like an early summer.
I know, it's too hot.
So hot.
Pho to me is like the best hangover food besides a diner food.
Yes, yes.
Because the clear broth, like I used to live right where Santa Monica met Sunset. That was my first apartment in LA. It was you know, overlooking that Jiffy Lube, the Intelligentsia Coffee.
Yep.
And my friend's family had the Vietnamese restaurant downstairs, Blossom.
Oh, I don't know if of course, I know it. I never ate there, but I know it.
So yeah, my friend from college, her family owned that. And so that was just like, hungover.
Wait a minute, you go downstairs in Blossom?
Yes, you go downstairs.
I probably had chicken, like a plain grilled chicken. Do you have grilled chicken? We went down, you go downstairs. Is it still there, Blossom?
I don't know. I haven't.
Yeah, Bridger and I went on one of our very first dates, like maybe date number 5 or 6. We went to Blossom. Yeah. I remember that.
I know that the downtown one is still there, but yeah, that was just like a place where, you know, Saturday night or like Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I don't feel like getting up. I would just go down, or like, you know, even on a weeknight, I'd you know, just go downstairs and grab some pho.
So good. It was so, it's so comforting. It's so, I loved that pho. It was delish. Yeah. Now, Stephen, I have an email from a listener. They have written in to babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. They have a bit of a food problem. Ooh. Let's read the email. It says, "Dearest Jimmy, I just finished the Jen Spira episode and I have my own experience with dirt. Except when I was growing up, we called it mud. So just a little context for you, Stephen. I did an episode with Jen Spira, who I love, and she was talking about dirt. And I said, what are you talking about? And I guess dirt is a chocolate pudding with Oreos crushed in it. And then sometimes they put a gummy worm in it to look like
the
gummy. Have you heard of this before? I never even heard of it.
Yes, I think I was a daycare kid because my, you know, single mom worked late. So I think
me too, but like, I never had dirt.
I feel like this daycare maybe was just more like, well, what can we preoccupy the kids' time with? Like, let's, and it almost kind of feels like it's like a science thing. You know, like, oh, the layers.
Wow. I didn't know this was a real thing. So now people are writing in to tell me what dirt was. Thank you. It's chocolate. This person continues saying chocolate pudding, crushed Oreo cookies and gummy worms, a true delight. It sounds wonderful. I don't know if I'd like the gummy worm with the chocolate. I feel like I would probably pull the gummy worm out, put it on the side, eat the thing, and then see if I wanted the gummy worm taste after the pudding.
Yes.
I have a question. Here comes. My boyfriend is a baby mouth. He likes pizza, hamburgers, mac and cheese, nachos, and similar foods. I love cooking and trying new foods, and that makes it difficult for us to eat together. What inspired you to broaden your horizons? Any suggestions for making my boyfriend more open to trying new foods? Thank you, Natalie." Thank you, Natalie, for your kind words, and thank you for writing in. Now, this is a, you know, she's asking me what inspired me to broaden my horizons, but has there ever been a time, have you always been somebody that was an adventurous eater? Have you never been afraid to try things? Do you eat anything? Are there some things you're like, I'll never eat that, I don't care?
Oh, well, I mean, this is like probably the most appropriate time to talk about this, but I hate peanut butter. I've always hated it.
No.
And when I was a kid, I eventually just told people I was allergic because it was easier.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, you don't like peanut butter? So as a kid, right, I just sort of like, oh, I'm allergic, to the point where I was telling people I was allergic up until my mid-20s.
Now, you don't like, enjoy a chocolate and peanut butter, like a Reese's peanut butter cup frozen? Delicious.
No.
A Reese's Pieces?
I can't do it.
Oh, my God. A chocolate peanut butter cookie?
Yeah, I don't. And it's funny, too, because, you know, of broadening horizons, like, I do try it every couple of years. Like,
really?
Every once in a while, I'm like, because, again, it's like there's so many foods I like now as an adult that I didn't like as a kid. So I was like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe I'll finally like peanut butter, and then I'll take a bite of a Reese's peanut butter cup, or I'll have a, you know, a peanut butter cupcake or a milkshake, or, you know, just maybe even a bite of somebody's sandwich. And I'm just like,
well, I mean, I also think, and having done this podcast, I can say to you, if you don't, if you've tried it and you don't like it, it's okay. It's just like this listener, Natalie, it sounds like her boyfriend is like me from before the podcast, where he won't even try anything. And I think, you know, something that Bridger and I used to do in our relationship was that we would have one night, Friday night was my night and Saturday night was his night.
Oh,
and
wow.
Wherever I picked to go, we had to go. And wherever he picked to go, we had to go. It's like the first time I ever tried, what's the Middle Eastern balls of deliciousness at Dune? Falafel.
Yeah, falafel.
Yeah, falafel. I never had falafel. I was afraid of falafel. I don't know what it is. I tried it because Bridger picked Dune, this great restaurant in Atwater Village here in LA, and I had to go because that was our deal, and it was delish. I don't love falafel. I don't seek out falafel. But if I go to a place and they have falafel, I'll get it. We ate it when we went on vacation in Paris. We went to an incredible falafel place. It was great. So that is one way, Natalie, that I think you can get your boyfriend to try. Just say, look. But the other trick to it, in my experience, is don't push him. If he doesn't like something, it's okay. At least he tried it.
I mean, to me, and again, meeting Brenna, it was this thing of like, I think cooking is an art.
Oh, absolutely.
And but it's one of the most immediate art forms where literally, if I put this in my mouth and I go, like, it's not good. Like, you know, and you can't, you know, like you said, you can't push people. And I grew up, I wouldn't say I was an adventurous eater growing up. I just had a dad who liked to travel. So like I had escargot when I was like 10.
Whoa, I've never had, like, I got to
raw fish.
I never had sushi. Never had it.
And I had friends, you know, I had friends from all of, you know, the world and stuff growing up. So it was more of like, again, like the family thing of like, I got to step up my game if I'm going to keep up kind of thing. Like, and so, so now it's like, but I also grew up like eating Taco Bell and stuff. You know, Taco Bell was our closest fast food restaurant. Yes. So like in McDonald's.
I never
so
had Taco Bell. I could actually put that on the list. I never had it.
Oh, you should do that.
I never had Taco Bell. I never had El Pollo Loco, which I think is just West Coast. I don't think they have those on the East Coast.
No, I don't think so. El Pollo Loco was also across the street from my first apartment in LA.
El Pollo Loco?
I love El Pollo Loco.
Oh, I never had it. I just had Zanku chicken for like the first time, maybe two years ago. Delish. The chicken was a little dry. But I think I got a bad batch because usually people don't complain about Zanku. They love it.
No, that garlic sauce is amazing. But yeah, so I on the spot of like trying to be more adventurous or being willing to try stuff or work together, I think what's really, and maybe it's not as popular as it was like 5 years ago, but I think the appetizer culture that has kind of been around.
Interesting.
So it's like less pressure. So it's like if I'm going to a restaurant and instead of getting like a full meal, you get like five appetizers or something.
Or even go to a tapas place where you can try, you know, it's just interesting because I get it. Like I get where her boyfriend is, where he doesn't want to try. It's like, I love pizza. I love mac and cheese. I mean, everything she's saying that he loves, I love. And it's like, so why, you know, there was like a certain fear with me too, that like, I would be at a restaurant and I would order sushi for the first time and hate it. And then sit there miserable and angry that I got something that I didn't like. So that was part of it too. Like, but there's just this fear of trying it and it's going to be gross. And
no, and that's not what you want when you're going to eat. You know, when you eat, you want to be like, no. And I think that's why I qualify and say, like, even though I've tried a lot of foods, I wouldn't say like I'm a super adventurous eater.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of like, I'm always impressed with Brenna because she will always get the weirdest thing on the menu.
Oh.
And sometimes she doesn't like it. You know, and so she's sort of okay with that because that's like part of her deal, like as a chef is wanting to try new things and experience new things, but it's not always a winner, you know? And so for me, it's like, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people listen to this podcast are like this, you know, you're working hard and like the last thing you want to do is sit down for dinner and then
especially if you're out and it's $25 or something. And then it's like, I should have never got this octopus. I should have just gotten a chicken, you know, a roasted chicken, which I know will be delish.
I had octopus on pizza when I went to Japan in high school. That was not a winner. No. That was
like
one of
octopus by itself, or have you not ever had it again? Because I've never had it.
It's funny to me because we just talked about the meat and ethical thing earlier, and like weirdly in the last like 5 years, because there's all these videos of octopus being like, "I'm your friend," and I'm like, "Oh no, I can't eat this anymore."
Yeah, that octopus teacher or whatever. That did you see that Netflix thing?
The guy swam
around with the octopus and they had a bond and he like loved the octopus.
Oh yeah.
I only watched half of it, but people seem to love that octopus teacher thing.
Well, and just, you know, I would probably be vegetarian if not for the fact that I like how it tastes. I think everyone has to take, I mean, we don't have to go down this whole becoming vegetarian thing, but like, you know, I think everyone is going on their own journey, and I think you have to respect everyone's journey. You
absolutely.
Know?
And just because I eat meat doesn't mean I hate your dog or I want to kill the cow or I want to, like, It's just, it's hard. I mean, as I expand, who knows? Maybe I'll give up meat. I don't know, but I'm trying all different kinds of other meats that I now enjoy, like pastrami, and now this corned beef hash, which is so good.
I'm so glad you liked it.
We're going to have to go out and get this because now I'm vaccinated.
Yes.
The world is opening up and we should go get this somewhere and have it together.
Yes, that would be lovely.
My dream is to do the podcast in restaurants with people. Oh,
one of my favorite percasts we did was we saw the movie Keanu, and then at the Arclight, it's the Key and Peele movie.
Oh, yes.
We saw it with a bunch of friends, and afterwards we went into the restaurant at the Arclight, RIP, and we
their Arclight just closed for people that don't know.
Set up a Zoom and we just talked. It was just very like Tarantino, you know, in the diner, like kind of thing.
I don't love to have clinking glasses and paint dropping in the background. You know, eventually I hope to make this a television show because that's really what it needs to be. It needs to be visual. You know, it's hard for me to ask guests to come on my podcast and then sit and do hair and makeup and make sure it's nice lighting and I'm going to broadcast the video. It's hard to do that and I don't want to do that right now, but eventually this will be a TV show where you're watching me with a guest sit in a restaurant and the chef in the restaurant will bring over the chicken lob and say, hey, this is a Thai dish, a Laotian dish. This is what's in it. And then we'll eat it together. And then we'll call my mother later, like we do on this podcast. And we'll Skype with mom and we'll talk about our experience. And it'll be a visual show because that's an element that's missing. But I love the podcast. I'm so happy I had on a podcast king, a podcast giant. I love that you told your origin story because I was so curious to know how you got started with all of it. And it was, I mean, in a way, it was kind of your kindness of saying, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. I know how to do that. I'll help you out. I'll do that. And now it came back.
It is one of those things, you know, where you are working so much. It's nice to talk to somebody and then like, oh, yeah, that's how this all, you know, that's how these things happen. Because, you know, we're just always so busy thinking about the next thing and the next thing. And
you're always grinding. Sometimes I know for myself, I love to step back and go, hey, remember when you were 20 and you were in college and you thought, oh my God, I'll never be on Broadway. What is going to happen? And all my dreams came true. So in those dark moments of this pandemic, which is still going on, and we're all still, I think a lot of us are broken from it and need to be put back together slowly as we come out of this. It's nice to step back and go, hey, you know what? I'm doing okay. I've done okay, and I'm doing okay. And now I'm doing something even better for myself by trying all of these things that, you know, it broadens up my whole perspective. I want to travel. I'm not afraid to go to countries that I thought maybe were scary or exotic. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm like, everything is great. Everything is fine. Just give it a try.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure, you know, and again, that thing of like, I mean, this will make an amazing TV show. But I think like, you know, we were listening back to the pho episode and Brenda would like pause every couple minutes because she just moved to New York around the same time of that era you were talking about.
Yes.
And so I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners. And again, just being in the podcast space, like podcasts have become a great way for people to, I think a lot of people when they listen to podcasts and they hear about experiences, they're like, oh, they're doing what you're doing, which is it allows them, like hearing somebody talk about this one story allows them to stop and be like, oh yeah, I did this thing, or I was over here doing this, or I experienced that, or I love that movie, or you know, that food or something like that. So I think podcasts have been a net positive overall as far as like helping people. All right, and I just say this for myself. I mean, listening to podcasts was just such a way for me to connect with everything.
Absolutely. I mean, having this podcast has not only saved me mentally during this pandemic, but it does help. I mean, I hear from a lot of people that are trying new foods. When I had the acquired taste segment, people were doing it with me. I'm going to keep trying. I don't like olives either. I'm going to keep trying one every week. It's just really fun to connect with people in different ways. And trying a new food every week is something that everybody can do. And it's also something that people want to do right now. We're opening back up. We're going to start exploring again. We're going to start traveling again. The world is kind of new in a way. It's a new world, but it's opening up again. And so why not try something new? I mean, I'm doing it every week, and I'm having a great time doing it, actually. It's kind of changing my whole perspective. Stephen Ray Morris, thank you so much for coming on my little show. I was so happy you said yes, and you're a terrific guest and a wonderful person, and I can't wait to go eat this corned beef hash with you somewhere someday, sometime soon. Okay, everybody, let's call my mother Lois. She's home in New Jersey. Corned beef hash, she's probably had it. I have a feeling it's not something that I ate as a child or ever saw her eat. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see what she thinks of it. It's not that scary. Gang, here she comes. Lois.
Hi, G.
How's it going?
Oh, good. It's so cold here. My heat went on.
Oh, God, really?
I think it's like 54 or something. It was terrible.
God, it's May.
I know. It's awful.
Why do you think it's so cold?
I don't know. Well, tomorrow it's only going to be like 64, and it's only going to be in the low 60s, like all week.
Wow. Well, that's weird.
The weather is just crazy.
Yeah, it's a little late in the year to be so cold.
Yeah. It's like, to me, it's like March weather.
Yeah, I know. Go to a football game or something, right?
Yeah, March, yeah.
Did you go to any games this year?
No.
I wonder if they had them because of COVID.
They did have them, but there was only like a certain amount of people that could go, like two people or something from each football player or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's over now pretty much.
Yeah.
They said you don't even have to wear a mask outside now.
Oh, I know. And they said, you know, they're going to go on with the graduations and proms. And
good.
So that's good because... Yeah. Last year, the kids lost so much.
Yeah, it's good now. Life is coming back.
Thank God.
Thank God is right. Now, this week, Mom, I did corned beef hash.
Oh. Well, I'll try corned beef, but I don't know. Hash, what is that? All smashed
up? I think it's just
up?
Potatoes, yeah.
Oh.
You would love that. You had corned beef before?
I don't know, but I try that because that's like brisket. I mean, I would try that, but...
Oh, but you've never had it?
No.
It's a little scary looking, the corned beef.
What do you mean?
Well,
it's red?
Like red? Yeah, it's that red, like almost like pastrami color, you know?
I
don't like that. Do you have a radio on or something?
The TV
was
on.
You might want to maybe turn off the television while we're doing the podcast. Oh, my God. Could you just prepare? Just, if you just gave
me 10%,
you know what I mean? Just prepare.
I am prepared.
I'm trying to make
it was on and I didn't shut it. Sorry.
Trying to make as professional a podcast as possible, you know?
It's fine.
You have the phone ringing. The TV is on.
Well, I can't help if the phone rings.
Yeah, but the TV you could have turned to.
Yes, but I forgot. I was rushing. And
you don't have to rush. There's no rush. We have plenty of time.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the corned beef anyway. Do you like any kind of red? You said you never had pastrami or you did? I can't remember.
No. I don't like that. And I even like rare roast beef. I don't like it. Has to be well done.
Well, I don't like well done, but...
Well, I do.
You must
everything
not like
well
a
done.
Prime rib. It's raw, like rare.
No, whenever there's prime rib, like we go to a wedding or something, I always ask for the end cut.
Yeah, well done.
It's all, yeah.
You don't like a bloody cut. Meat.
No.
Some
I don't,
people love it.
Oh, I know. Ugh, I can't. Oh, it makes me sick.
All right. Well, don't get sick thinking about it.
Oh.
But you might like this corned beef. And you know, the place that I went to get it here is called the Astro Restaurant. And it's like this old diner. Old.
Oh.
It looks like it's from the 60s or the 50s. And it's like unchanged. Did you used to go to a lot of diners when you were a kid, like in high school?
Oh, yeah. Lindhurst Diner's shut now.
Well,
it's closed now for a couple of years.
But diner in New Jersey, like the diner culture is a big thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of diners.
And they're all open 24/7.
Most of them, yeah. Well, yeah. I have the only one we've gone recently is the Candlewick in East Rutherford. They have really good food.
That's where they have your salad that you enjoy.
Yeah, I like that pecan encrusted chicken salad.
Why did the Lyndhurst Diner close? They're not going to reopen?
They closed during the pandemic. Whoop. They don't know if they're going to reopen or not because the owner died, and then I don't know, his daughter, somehow she's connected to the Candlewick. Oh. So I don't know if she's going to open this one. They don't know. It's always in the paper. They don't know what they're doing yet.
That was so popular, the Lyndhurst Diner, but it's a little small, you know?
Yeah.
They should make
They added that room onto it.
Oh.
Were you ever in that room? There's a room they added on to the left. I don't know if you ever saw that room, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of the diner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even with that, it's small.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not that big.
But no, I love a diner. I like to sit at the counter.
And they're supposed to have the best foods.
Diners?
Yeah, they have really good food.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Most of them.
In LA, we don't have a lot of diners, and the ones that we have, it doesn't feel to me like you could go in like in New York or New Jersey. You just go in and you can order, and you don't have to look at the menu. You just tell them what you want on it, how you like it, and they just make it. But here, it's not. It doesn't feel like that to me.
Oh.
And I like a late night diner. I don't eat late at night anymore, but like in New York after a show or as a kid after, you know, we'd have like a high school concert and you'd go to the diner.
You always went to the diner, right, for food. You're always hungry.
Well, corned beef is like something you would get at a diner.
Yeah, sandwich. Did you put it on bread or no?
No, I don't think it's corned beef sandwich. No, hash.
Yeah, they have corned beef sandwich, but not hash. Hash is with something, but you can get a corned beef sandwich in a diner.
Oh, I thought it was just a pastrami sandwich. I never heard of a corned beef sandwich.
Yeah, you could get a corned beef sandwich.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it a lot. I mean, it's beef, but it is that red. I just don't know if you'd like the way it looks.
I know. I don't think so. I mean, I've seen it, but I never ate it.
Yeah, I know. But
Like pastrami's red, too.
And you never had pastrami? That you would love.
No.
Believe me.
No,
that
like
you would
that
love.
Either.
It's delicious.
I know. Daddy likes pastrami. I don't like it.
Yeah, you could have it. You should try it.
Yeah, maybe.
You're not going to try. You don't have to lie and say maybe.
I might. You never know.
Now, what did you eat this week? Why don't you give the listeners kind of a rundown of your menu for the week? Like, what did you have?
I don't know.
Week?
We just have chicken. We had fried chicken.
You had both chicken and fried chicken as two separate meals?
No. Okay. Fried chicken. Okay. Then we had, I had, because I didn't cook one night, and I had bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich and french fries.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
What else did you have this week?
We had steak.
With fries or potato?
No, baked potato, steak, salad. And what else did I have? I made the kids chicken soup, but did I have chicken soup? I might have had chicken soup Thursday, And last night we had pizza, of course, and salad.
What do you get on your pizza?
Well, sometimes we get sausage or pepperoni, but this time it was just plain.
I like it plain sometimes.
Yeah, and tonight we had open-faced roast beef sandwiches.
Oh.
And french fries and salad.
And you put, like, the gravy on it?
Yeah, the gravy.
Just white bread, right?
Yeah. No, I had rye bread, because the white bread I had was stale.
Oh, well, that's...
But I usually put mine on rye bread anyway.
I don't really like rye bread. Do you?
Why? Yeah, I do.
And now what do you have for dessert tonight?
Tonight, I'll probably have some ice cream or one of those real tiny little Dove bars.
Oh, I like those.
They're about two. Yeah, they're like 2 inches. I usually have one of those.
Are those ice cream or?
Yeah, ice cream.
Yeah, I like
ice But they're
ice
real
cream.
Little. Yeah.
Now that it's summer, you could go to Dairy Queen. Remember we used to go to Dairy Queen?
I know,
Queen,
but you got to watch the sugar because ice cream has a lot of sugar.
Yeah, but if you have like a smaller dinner...
Right, and plus, that's like the only dessert I eat all day. You know, it's not like right. I'm chowing down on something.
Chowing down?
No, like having cookies or something during the day. I only have like one dessert at night.
Remember we used to get the Carvel cakes with the crunch in them? Delicious.
Yeah. Oh, the kids love them.
I'm talking about me.
Yeah, well, you had them, but I'm just saying, the little kids loved them.
We used to get those Fudgy the Whale.
Yeah, for Carvel. Father's
they
Day.
They still have Carvel, right?
Oh, yeah, there's one right on Ridge Road.
And the pastry shop, the Italian Ices, they have the line around the block.
Oh, they have, they're always the line.
But you know.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, not there, because that ice really has a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, but we used to go, when I was a kid, we'd go there for a lemon ice.
Oh, yeah.
So
I loved all that stuff.
I love all those Italian pastries.
Yeah, they're good.
I didn't have any when I was there. That's what we should have gotten instead of those cookies. They should have had cannolis, Napoleon, delish.
Yeah, but
Sfogliatelle, right?
Yeah. What did we have? Oh, we had the cake. The cake was good.
Delicious.
With the,
your anniversary. Was, anniversary cake.
That cake was good. The cookies were all right. The
cookies were all right. How'd you like the flounder?
I didn't taste that.
No, I didn't either.
They liked it, though. Uncle James, he liked it. Aunt B, I don't know.
Aunt B seemed to like her flounder.
I didn't even taste it.
Well, you could have tasted it.
Well, I liked flounder, but that was stuffed with crab meat. That's why I didn't taste it.
Yeah, that's fish and fish. It's too much fish.
But I mean, if it was just flounder, I would have had some, because I like flounder.
And the lemon or something. He had it in grapes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what I didn't taste
but
it.
But your meatballs were delicious. You want to give us the recipe for your meatballs?
I don't really have a recipe. I don't say like I put in a cup of this or that. I just go by
what
how
is it?
Much
just
meat I have.
Crumbs, meat, garlic.
Then you have garlic, parsley, what else? Onion. I put, you know, chopped onion.
Onion powder.
Yeah.
Not onion powder.
Yeah. Breadcrumbs, a lot of eggs, some milk. That's it.
And you don't even measure?
No.
Wow.
I go, because it depends on how much meat I get. Sometimes I get a bigger package. So.
Yeah. It's delicious. Oh, there's your phone.
I don't know
Here
who it
we
is,
go.
Daddy will get it.
We
you got it already.
We should just call this podcast Lois's phone. We're calling
Jim.
Who
it's
calls
fine.
Lois? Who calls Lois this week?
Oh, I can't help it. People don't know. I never record on a Saturday.
Who could be calling?
I think it's Aunt Rhody.
Oh boy! All right. Well, what's happening tonight? Anything exciting? You already ate dinner?
No, nothing. I didn't have dessert yet, so that's
good. Have some ice cream, but not too much.
No, a little bar.
Anything on television tonight you're looking forward to?
No, they're having that, you know what they're having on? A special at 8 o'clock. A lot of stars are J-Lo.
Oh,
and Vax. They're gonna be, Vax. Yeah, that's on tonight.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
You like J-Lo?
Yeah, she's okay.
She's getting a divorce.
Not a divorce. She broke her engagement.
Oh, well, whatever.
She's not getting a divorce. She never married.
Oh, she never married, yeah. It must be hard when you're so famous, he's so famous, and there's kids
I
and
know.
This, and I'm traveling here, and I gotta, oh my God, it's too much, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
You have any advice for J-Lo? I mean, you're married for 50 years.
I don't have any
advice
but
for a long marriage.
You gotta give and take.
Yeah.
Give a little, take a little, yeah.
Oh boy. Hit it, Mom.
Oh, no, forget it. No. Me hitting it, right, Jim?
One of three children they asked not to sing in the sixth grade choir, my mother.
Not one of three. Me and my friend, the whole class, it was about 30-something kids.
Oh, so you were
three.
One of two. No, I'm saying asked two of you not to sing out of all the class.
I just remember two. I don't know if there was any other ones.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, I don't.
Whatever.
You don't have any advice, just give and take. That's your advice.
You have to give a little and take some. Yeah, you have to compromise a lot.
Yes.
I don't know what else.
All right. Well, you made it 50 years.
That's it. When you tell people that, they're like amazed because
it
nowadays.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
A lot of my friends are married more than 50 years, 53 years, 52 years.
You know, the best thing about you and Daddy is that you still make each other laugh. That's, I think, one of the
Daddy.
Secrets, don't you think? You're always laughing. And now you
Daddy, not daddy more than me.
You laugh.
Get moods. I know, but I get moods.
Well, you are moody, but you've always been moody. But no, you laugh a lot with the kids and even at each other.
Oh, yeah.
But even at my father, you laugh a lot at each other.
Yeah.
That's a secret.
Well, some of the things he comes up with, I mean, I don't know how he thinks of them.
Was he always funny, like when you first met?
Yeah.
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 That's a good trait.
Always had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like you. You always had like a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. Well, I've always been funny. I don't know. I like to make people laugh. Me and Bridger, all we do is laugh at each other all day. That one. He's like a joke machine. He's so funny. Oh, Bridger.
And he looks like he's so
funny.
Quiet.
No, he's so funny. He's one of the funniest people, probably the funniest person I ever met. But that's a secret to a good relationship, is making each other laugh and having a sense of humor.
Humor, yeah.
And the secret to a good long life. Look at all those comedians. Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks. Carl Reiner passed away, but he was a million years old. He was 96, 98 years old or something.
Yeah, they're all in their 90s.
Norman Lear, who I've been lucky enough to meet several times. He's in his late 90s, 99. All they do is laugh all day. So that's a good trait to
have. That's good. Yes, definitely.
All right, Mom. Well, have a good night. Enjoy your ice cream. Don't have too much.
Okay.
Enjoy.
And stay safe.
I was going to say enjoy J-Lo and the Vax concert.
Yeah, I'll probably watch 2 minutes and get bored and switch.
All right. And now we can stay safe.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night, son. Bye.
The Baby Mouth theme song is performed by me and was written by me and Jesse Vargas. Jesse also orchestrated, recorded, and mixed the song. The Baby Mouth artwork was created by Tim Quartier. You can follow the Baby Mouth podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Baby Mouth Pod. Tell me about your own personal food nightmare. Have you ever been forced to eat something horrible at a fancy party or on a first date? Is there a food you're afraid to try? I want to know all about your scary food experiences. Email me at babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to listen and subscribe to Baby Mouth wherever you get your podcasts. And please, don't forget to leave a review. Baby Mouth!